Tonight, we want to continue a lesson that we began last Lord's Day evening concerning what kind of a Christian are you. I was visiting with Clay, I think it was last Monday, and he said, Dad said, the reason that you didn't get any further than you did in your lesson last night was because you were so upset that there were so many people that were not back on Lord's Day evening. But now that's really not true. I want you to understand now that whether you attend services or not doesn't really have any bearing upon me. But it does in regard to your relationship with the Lord. And yes, sometimes it is discouraging. And sometimes you wonder why it is that a lot of people do not think any more of their Christianity than what they do. Christian. As I said last Lord's Day evening, most of the people in this building are Christians. But that does not mean that we truly appreciate and understand what it means to be a Christian. And there are not, there are not really but two kinds of Christians. And that is acceptable or unacceptable in sight of God. Does it make any difference whether they're acceptable or unacceptable in my sight? Does it make any difference what I may think, what my opinion may be? Your opinion's as good as mine. Now, there may be those that are somewhere in between, I suppose. But just exactly what Jody read tonight, and we have looked at those verses so many times, I hope that we have, that there is a straight way, and there's a narrow gate, and there's a broad way, and there's a wide gate. And that straight and narrow is for those Christians that are paying the price to be the kind of a Christian that God wants them to be. And then, the broad way, the wide gate, is for those that are missing the mark of Christianity. A lot of people talk a good talk. They will tell you in a second that they are Christian, that they have been baptized, their sins have been washed away. They are men and women of God. But are they? Are they paying the price of Christianity? Let me tell you something, brethren. Christianity is not just a word. It's a way of life. It is lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is not something that we put on and off like we do a coat. It is not something that once we get into our home, we can put it aside. It is an every minute, every hour, every day type of living. And so many people do not take it that way. Now, we're studying out of Galatians, the 6th chapter. And I believe that we got through the first two verses. We spent the bulk of our time talking about verse 1. In that second verse, well, let's just begin reading in 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help each other. Love each other. Be mindful of each other. Help one another carry the weight of life. That's what he's saying in verse 2. Be concerned about somebody else more than just always thinking about yourself. That's Christianity. That is Christianity. It is a life of service. It is service to God. It is service to our brethren. It is service to our fellow man. And that's what he's saying in verse 2. And in doing this, he said, you fulfill the law concerning being mindful of one another. God expects us to be those kind of people if we are Christian people. What is the last time that you have done for somebody else? Given a moment of your time, been mindful of the less fortunate, sent a card, made a phone call, did something to show that you are trying to bear one another's burdens. Are you mindful of the people in this congregation who are your spiritual family? They're your brothers and sisters. I have never had a fleshly brother or sister. And I feel like that in a lot of ways, I have missed something in my life. And every day that my mother gets older, and I see her condition, and how time is taking its toll upon her, and that she is becoming more and more dependent upon somebody else to help her, I wish that I had a brother or sister to share part of that responsibility. But I don't have. I don't have. But I have spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. But now let me say this. And I don't want you to take what I'm about to say the wrong way, because I'm not necessarily inferring this to myself, but to each one of us. If we're not good brothers and sisters in Christ, of what benefit are we one to another? And I want you to think about that. If we're never able to bear someone else's burden, if we're always too busy with our burden, then of what benefit is it for me to have you as a brother or sister in Christ? And I say that respectfully, I say that with love in my heart, but I want to make the point that we need to understand that we are a family. Paul, in writing in Romans 12, talked about the body, and that each part of the body is important, using the physical body. But so also is the spiritual body. That we make up a body, a spiritual body. And that every member of that body should be making some kind of a contribution for the betterment of the body as a whole. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. To be something. Many times today, brethren have an attitude of being so pious, being so honorable, that what they say carries a little bit more weight than somebody else in the church. That they're a little bit wiser than everyone else in the congregation. And they try to show that in regard to what they say, in regard to what they do, in regard to the way that they conduct themselves. Well, let's think about that. In Romans 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Brethren, we're all different, one from another. And my abilities are not your abilities. My talents are not your talents. Neither are yours mine. And so what he is saying is, you be the best you that you can be. I don't have to be Kurt. I don't have to be Merv. I don't have to be Jeff. I have to be me. And I have to be the best me that I can be, with the measure of faith, with my attitude, and in regard to my conduct toward my God and my brethren. But you know, sometimes, as he says here, when he is nothing, if we are so self-centered and above sin, as many people think that they are, then we are at the very point of deception. None of us ever reach the point to where we cannot learn, to where we cannot do better, to where we need not work on our responsibilities. And when we think that we have reached that point of being totally complete, we deceive ourselves and we mislead ourselves. And we need to be aware of that. A man should not think of himself to be something when he is nothing, because he deceiveth himself. Nobody else is deceiving him. He is deceiving himself. And let me say this, and I want you to think about this. Every man should know his limitations. Every man should understand where that he's gone as far as he can go. Now, I understand that it is important that we are continually trying, and the more that we try, the more that we can grow and the more that we can mature. But I understand that in certain areas my abilities are limited, and I need to know that. I don't need to let somebody puff me up and give me the impression that I am something when I am not. To me, that is being deceived. I need to know what I can and cannot do, and that I appreciate that, and I do not let someone puff me up to deceive me and take advantage of me. And I have seen that happen. And I really believe, brethren, that that's why that one of the qualifications of an elder is that he's not a novice. It's not a new convert. It's not someone that could be easily used by someone else. But rather, it is someone that is mature, that have been through some of the battles of Christianity, and that they understand what it is that I'm talking about in regard to their limitations. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. How do we prove ourselves? Notice what he said. Let every man, I'm going to use that word in a different sense. Let every Christian prove his own work. How do we do that? We do that by our works our fruits, our actions, how we live, by our attitude, and so forth. And we do that each and every day of our lives. Many today want to compare their lives with someone else who they think is weaker than they are. If I try to pick out the weakest member in the church, and here again, that would be just personal opinion. I have no idea who is the weakest member in the church, and that's way beyond my pay grade. That's way beyond my ability to understand. But I'm simply making the point that if I pick out someone in the congregation that maybe doesn't always attend the way that they should, or maybe don't always do this or that the way that we think that they ought to, and we look at that person and we say, well, I am a lot better than they are. Is that the standard? Is that the standard that God will use on the day of judgment in regard to whether you and I will spend eternity in heaven? In other words, if I pick out Andrew to be my standard and I say, well, I'm better than him, does that mean on the day of judgment that that's the way the Lord is going to judge the two of us? No. No. Well, what is the standard? The Word of God. God is the standard. God's Word is the standard. But now notice what it is that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Are not wise. Let me tell you something. On the judgment day, God is not going to judge the Village Creek Church of Christ as a whole. He's not going to say, well, 50% of the members of the congregation were good, sound, solid men and women of God. And because of that, I'm just going to let every member of that congregation go into heaven. Or, he's not going to say, well, I'm sorry to say that the faithful members were in the minority, and so because of that, I'm not going to let any of them in. No. Paul said, don't be trying to judge yourself and compare yourself with other members of the church. Use the standard of God's Word. And I am not going to sit in judgment of you on the judgment day. The Lord is. And the Lord knows more about your life than I can even imagine. He knows everything that there is to know about each one of us. And that's going to determine where we're going to spend eternity. We need to be concerned about our own lives and our own relationship with our Lord. I've seen some that were always trying to meddle in someone else's affairs and were always talking about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. That is not the kind of Christianity that I read about in God's Word. I carry my own responsibility as you do. Each one of us are accountable to God. And we cannot make it right with God for one another. I am responsible for myself And I need to understand that. Do you understand that as a part of your Christianity? That it is you. If everybody else in this congregation is trying to do what God expects out of them, but you're not, you're not going to go to heaven on our coattails. You're not going to slip in when the rest enter into heaven. It will be an individual judgment and responsibility before God. For every man shall bear his own burden. And that word man there is used generically. Male and female. Every male, every female shall bear his own burden. Well, now wait a minute. Is that a contradiction of verse 2? No, it's talking about something entirely different. In verse 2, he's talking about our helping one another. In verse 5, he's talking about our accountability before God. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now that's what verse 5 is talking about. Every man, every woman shall receive their reward according to their labor. Not mine, not somebody else's, but theirs. And we're all going to answer for ourselves. We're going to carry our own load. We're going to have our own page in that book that God keeps on each and every one of us. And He's going to know everything that there is to know about us. And if all our Christianity is just words. Just words. With no works, fruits, or labors. Then you tell me, what do we have to look forward to on the Day of Judgment? So the question is, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? And I sincerely ask that question. What are you doing to prove yourself as a faithful man or woman of God? People spend so much time talking about what they're going to do. Yeah, I'm going to do so and so. And it sounds good. And maybe they have good intentions. But they never get around to doing it. They're going to. But they put off and they neglect and they fail to act to do what it is that they say that they're going to do. Or, worse yet, they spend their time worrying about someone else's life, and because of that, they end up doing nothing. Well, so-and-so is not helping with this, or so-and-so is not doing this or that, so why should I? Does that mean that if everybody else loses their soul, that you want to as well? Let's accept the premise. It's just like I know I've told you this before, but I will never forget this as long as I draw breath upon this earth. I was visiting with a man that meant a lot to me, who was out of duty in the sight of the Lord, and I was trying to convince him that he needed to get started going back to church, needed to get his life back in harmony with God's will, and he said, nobody's doing right. There's not anybody where you go to church that's doing right. Why, so-and-so does this, and so-and-so does that, and I've heard so-and-so about this. And I said, hold it. So what you're telling me is this. Let's say that what you're saying is right, but I will not accept that. But let's just say that what you're saying is right. What you are saying is, if everybody else goes to hell, you've decided that you want to go too. Is that the way it is? Is that the way you look at your Christianity, brethren? When it comes right down to the individuality of Christianity and judgment before our Lord, that I want to be like everybody else? If everybody else is lost, that's who I want to be like? No. No. And I think that we're smarter men and women than that. And that our Christianity means more to us than that. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I just want to spend a second on that verse because I just don't want to spend much time on it. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And that's what he's saying there in verse 6. Those that teach the Word of God should be compensated from those who are benefiting from the teaching or the preaching. And I would say this, the work of saving souls is the highest calling of God. Trying to save lost souls. You remember how we're touched here when someone responds to the gospel, either to be baptized or to get their life straightened out and get back in harmony with God's will. Isn't that a moment of great rejoicing? And you know, down through the history of mankind, there are men that have made great sacrifices to teach others the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Great sacrifices. And there are men today that are still making great sacrifices in foreign lands. And even in the United States of America, they make sacrifice. And they go the last mile of the way in trying to save the souls of lost men and women. Let me give you an instance. You would be surprised at how many nights that I will wake up during the night and get to thinking about something that maybe I should have said, something I should have done, that maybe would have caused someone to get their life back where God wants it to be. And there is many an hour that I spend thinking about what it is that I can talk about from this pulpit that will encourage us to live better lives before God and to be more concerned about our relationship with God. And brethren, let me tell you something. Whether or not you are so saved, whether or not your soul is saved, is important to me. And I want it to be important to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what he's saying there? He said, don't be misled. Don't be taken advantage of. And don't be led astray. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Many are deceived into believing many falsehoods about their responsibilities to God. You don't have to do that. Don't worry about that. Somebody else can do it. And that's just too much responsibility, too much expectation. And many want to believe that God is not going to back up what He says in these holy scriptures. And the idea that man can be so easily fooled to me is amazing. So easily fooled. It's exactly what He says. God is not mocked. Mocked here means to turn up your nose or sneer at God. Why? God, I'm not going to do that. If I've got to do that in order to go to heaven, I'm just not going to do it. Well, I got news for you. If you don't do it, you're not going to go to heaven. And even worse, many in the church follow this same course. And they seem to say, God, I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to attend. I don't have to study. I don't have to be mindful of my brethren. I don't have to. But you do. And just because you think within yourself that you don't, does not change what the Bible says. And I can tell you of one thing tonight. If you think that you're going to mock God and snub your nose at God, you may be able to get by with that with your fellow man, but you're not going to get by with that with God. God is going to hold each one of us accountable to a standard. And that standard that is set forth in this book is going to determine where we're going to spend eternity, each and every one of us. So the question is tonight, what are you sowing? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are you sowing? You put forth your seed every day by everything about your life. You think about that. Your seed is being sown every day. And you can either sow bad seed and reap the kind of a harvest that you don't want to, or you can sow the right kind of seed and reap an eternal weight of glory. And let me say this, brethren. It's one thing to sow, but it's something else to reap. You understand that? It's one thing to sow, but it's something else to reap. In verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." There it is. There it is. What you sow is what you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh and you reap corruption. And when anyone spends their time sowing to the flesh, they can expect to reap the kind of a harvest that they certainly will pay for through all eternity. You sow to the Spirit and you reap life everlasting. Now here's the question tonight. And really, this is what this is all about. This is totally dependent upon how you live your life. How I live mine, how you live yours. What kind of a harvest will you reap? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14 and verse 13. See what he said? He said, our works and our deeds will follow us to the judgment. And to die is one thing. But to die in the Lord is something entirely different. And we cannot lose sight of our goal of heaven. The last verse that we'll look at in this couple of lessons is verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not to grow weary, faint-hearted, to faint, to lose courage, to fail to understand what the reward is. And it's one thing to be tired physically. That's not the worry that we're talking about here. The worry that Paul is talking about is the worry of the heart, the worry of the mind, and the worry of how we conduct ourselves before Him. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I can tell that my physical body is changing as I grow older. I can't do the things that I once could. I understand that. That is the aging process. But that's not what he's talking about here in growing weary. He's talking about the inward man. And that is the part that does not have to grow old. That is the part that can be renewed day by day in regard to our relationship with the Lord. And he said, we will reap if we can just hold out. I don't know when the due season will come. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't know when that'll be. You don't either. It happens with a lot of people every day. Every second. And so many times we are reminded of this by the death of a friend, by the death of a loved one, by the death of someone that we are acquainted with. And reality comes back to us. And I don't know when you or me will cross the river of time. I don't know. But I do know this. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So the question is tonight, after we have discussed this on two Lord's Day evenings, what kind of a Christian are you? Someone says, well, it really doesn't matter, but it does. It does. It matters what kind of a Christian that you are. And it matters the kind of a life that you're living. And the kind of a relationship that you have with God. And the kind of a relationship that you have with one another. It matters. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're in this building and you're not a child of God, you're not going to be satisfied with the harvest that you're going to reap on the Day of Judgment. You're not going to be satisfied. For it will be an endless eternity in a devil's hell. But if you are the kind of a Christian that God wants you to be, then you can spend that endless eternity in that beautiful place that's called heaven. What will it be for you? As you're sowing, you shall also reap. So what are you sowing tonight? Good or bad? If we can any way assist you in getting your life back where God wants it to be, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.